Well, happy Monday to you and welcome back to the Drivecast. My name is Dean. I'm the lead pastor here at LifePoint. I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus. We jump back into the playlist series where we are looking at the Psalms. They help us understand the breadth of human emotion. Calvin called them a complete anatomy of the human soul. So we are saying that God writes the lyrics of our souls in the Psalms. They help us process things like love and anger and fear, worry. They help us as we think about the things in our lives that we both struggle with, the highs, the lows. The Psalms help us with all of it. And this past weekend, we looked at Psalm 81, and there were three thoughts that came out, at least at Lewis Center, that we talked through. Number one, life is like a walk through the wilderness. Secondly, even though you're in a wilderness, you can always find honey in the rock. And thirdly, that rock will cause you to either stand or to stumble. First of all, life is a walk in the wilderness. In verses 1 through 3, the writer refers to that specific day. He says at the new moon, at the full moon, on the feast day. Well, the only day of the year that was the Feast of Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, it was also called. It was a celebration where the people came out and actually lived in tents for a certain number of days in the festival to remind them of the wilderness wandering where they lived in tents and had to move and react consistently to God's presence. If you think about it, the Exodus was like a 40-year-long sanctified camping trip. And whenever God moved, they moved. And that was the idea of the feast, that they responded to God's movement. They added a day to the feast. They called it the Great Day, the last day of the feast. People added over time where they would pour water out. And there's some conflict among scholars, but they would go to the water gate in the city of Jerusalem. They would pour out a pitcher of water. And some scholars have suggested that they did this because they were saying that God loves us so much, that we are so special, that we can waste water. We can pour water out on the ground. And throughout the passage, I think the psalm writer picks up on that. If you're more interested, by the way, in studying that by the water gate, you can cross-reference back to Nehemiah 8, where I believe Ezra the priest experiences that in the city during the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths. In verse 10, God says, I'm the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. He's referring back. He says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. God's heart is to satisfy us. Verse 16 says that he would feed us with the finest of wheat from honey from the rock. So even in the wilderness, even in the midst of great difficulty, God wants to remind us that he's always with us. Even when we make bad choices, right? Good choices, bad choices, highs and lows, that God was always with the people. Even when they complained, even when they whined on the Exodus trip, he stayed with them. His presence was in the tabernacle, which then transferred to the temple, and the people had to go to the temple to worship. But John 1:14 says that when Jesus came, that the word became flesh and dwelt. And that word dwelt is the word tabernacled, that Jesus came and dwelt among us, God in human form. But then that changes again when Jesus ascends back to heaven. The day of Pentecost comes and the Holy Spirit indwells believers. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? So in the Old Testament, you had to go to the temple to worship, right? In the New Testament, the temple has come to you. And the reason that's important is because Psalm 81 says in verse 7, in your distress, I called you, delivered. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Two times in the Old Testament, God provides water for people at Meribah, life-giving, fresh water as they are moving through a desert, twice at the same place there at Meribah. And what you realize from those experiences is that God never wastes a wilderness. God always wants to be with his people and provide for them. And instead of destroying them because they complained, God provided. Deuteronomy 32, when Moses is summarizing his life in what's called the Song of Moses, he says in that verse, we will praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. That the reality of what happened at Meribah is that God struck the rock instead of striking the people. He could have just wiped the people out and said, you know, after 40 years or almost 40 years of this, you'd think you'd trust me. But instead, he strikes the rock. And in that verse, the obvious reference that Moses makes there is that God is the rock. So instead of striking us, God struck Jesus in our place. On the great day of the feast in John chapter 7, people are there. They're about to pour the water out. And Jesus stands up and says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. So I'm going to pray today that the living water will flow out of us because the living water is in us. That we'd be reminded that God didn't choose us because we are special, but we are special because God chose us. And he proved that to us in Jesus, our Meribah, that rock that will either be your cornerstone on which you stand, or according to Simon Peter in the New Testament, he will be the stone of stumbling. He'll be the one who causes us to stumble. Let me pray for us, and then you take the opportunity to pray. God, as we begin our day, so good to remember on a Monday that you are with us, that you never leave us, that you never forsake us, that we need to not fear, neither do we need to be dismayed, because you will hold us up with your righteous right hand. God, we trust that today. Help us to live from that place today. Now you take the opportunity to pray.